Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Mahaprabhu's Vapu Vikar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transformations of his transcendental body. And this is a particular Leela that describes the Leela behind the name Korma Chaitanya. That painting is there on the wall on the left hand side, Tota Gopinath. Take darshan Tota Gopinath, you can see that. So we heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he somehow in the middle of the night he got out of the Gambira, then he was searching everywhere for Krishna, and he ended up at the Jagannath Mandir, Sri Mandir, by the southern gate where the cows eat all the old rice and prasadam. And there he entered into internal consciousness, remembering Vrindavan, and how he was seeing in his purti, he was seeing Radha and Krishna entering into the bower, into the Kunjagar, and they were performing various pastimes. Krishna was performing various pastimes with Radharani. And suddenly, all the devotees were chanting Hari, Hari, or the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the ear of Lord Chaitanya. Then he woke up. He said, "Why have you brought me here?" And then Lord Chaitanya said, "My ears are dying of thirst. Karna Trishna Maro. My ears are dying of thirst." So then Sri Damodar recited a verse from Pranaya Gita, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to speak about Krishna's flute and the beauty of Krishna's form. And he described that Krishna's flute as like a Venudvani Siddha Mantra Yogini. Siddha Mantra Yogini. Krishna's Venudvan. His Venudvani is like a yogini capturing all the gopis. And his glance is Krishna Kripa Kataksha. It breaks all their attachment to religious principles. Stri Dharma, Loka Dharma, Patni Dharma, Varna Dharma, Ashram Dharma, Sub Dharma Chordo, Chariya. So now this is text 38, chapter 17. Venu Nada Amrita Gole, Amrita Samana Mita Bhole, Amrita Samana Bhushana Shinjita, Tina Amrite Hare Khan, Hare Mana Hare Pran, Kimane Nari Dhari Bega Chitta. Mahaprabhu said, "The nectarine buttermilk of your flute's vibration, Amrit Gole, and the nectarine sound of your ornaments mix together to attract our ears, minds, and lives. In this way you're killing us. Eta kahi krodha veshe mbhavera tarange base utkanta sagare dube man radara utkanta vani padi apane vakani krishna madhurya kare aswadhan." Mahaprabhu spoke these words in a mood of anger, krodha vesh. He was absorbed in anger. As he floated on the waves of ecstatic love, Bhavataranga, Lord Chaitanya was floating on the waves, Bhase. Bhavataranga Bhase. He was floating, and so many waves were there, so many taranga, so many waves. So sometimes we go out and we float. So we can imagine, are we Bhavataranga Bhase? Are we floating in the waves of Bhav, or floating in the waves of Bhav? Bhava is material existence. Bhava and Bhava. Bhava Sagar. Bhava. Bhava Sagar means the ocean Sagar of material existence. Bhava. Then there's Bhav. Bhav. Bhav Sagar. The ocean of Prem. The ocean of Bhav. Bhavera Tarange Bhase. Utkanta. Utkanta Sagari Dubeman. His mind was merged in an ocean of eagerness and anxiety. He recited this verse. He recited a verse spoken by Radharani, expressing the same emotion. And then Mahaprabhu personally explained the verse and thus tasted the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes. So this is the verse Mahaprabhu spoke. Nada jalada niswana shravana karshi sach chinjita. Sanarma rasa suchakakshara padartha bangyut yuktita. Ramadika varangana vridya hari vamsi kala. Same marana mohana saki tanoti karna spriham. Mahaprabhu said, oh Saki, Krishna has a voice as deep as a cloud resounding in the sky. Very deep voice. With the tinkling of Krishna's ornaments, he attracts the ears of the gopis. And with the sound of his flute, he attracts Lakshmi Devi and other beautiful women. That personality of Godhead known as Madan Mohan, whose joking words carry many indications and deep meanings, is increasing the lusty desires of my heart. This is Radharani's mood in separation, remembering Krishna's voice and the tinkling of his ornaments and the sound of his flute. This is a beautiful concert. These are the perfection of sound, dwani. Krishna, it says here, Hari Vamshikala. Hari Vamshakala, the sound of his flute. Ridaya Hari, Ramadika Varangana, Rama Adika Varangana. So it's saying that Krishna's flute, the artistic vibration of Krishna's Vamshi, steals Hari, the heart of Rama Devi, beginning with Rama Devi, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, Rama Adika, beginning with her. And then all the other demigoddesses and all the other beautiful women, Varangana, their hearts and minds get stolen. Ridaya, Ridaya Hari, Vamshikala. And because he does this, he steals everyone's mind and he creates transcendental attraction. His name is Madan Mohan. But this is a beautiful concert that is formed by the combination of Krishna's deep voice, his beautiful mind-stealing flute vibration, and the tinkling of his ornaments, his ankle bells. Krishna wears ankle bells. Kantera gambira dwani navaghana dwani jini jaragune kokila lajai tara ekashuti khan dubaya jagatera khan tara ekashuti khan dubaya jagatera khan Puna Khana Bahuri Na Ai. Radharani goes on to describe Krishna's deep voice. Krishna's deep voice is more resonant than newly arrived clouds, and his sweet song defeats even the sweet sound of the cuckoo, the kokil, kokil ajai. The kokil, the cuckoos become embarrassed. They become shy, they become embarrassed. When Krishna starts singing, then the cuckoos they become quiet. Usually cuckoos are making too much noise, kokil. But when they hear Krishna's song, then they become shy and ashamed of their own singing. Krishna's song is so sweet that even one particle of the sound of Krishna's song can inundate the entire world. If such a particle of Krishna's singing enters the ear of someone, then immediately that person will give up all other kinds of hearing. Bahudi says it can't come out. Actually, literally it says, Eka Shuti Khan Dubhai Jagatera Khane. The particle, just one particle, Shuti Khan, like a Surya Khan, a ray of sun, just one particle, one note. One note from Krishna's singing is enough to inundate the ears of the whole world. And what happens is Khan, Bahudi, Naaya. It goes into your ear and it can't come out. It says Naaya. Aya means come. Naaya. Naaya means not. It doesn't come out. It goes in and doesn't come out. That's actually when Prabhupada was asked once about, I said this before, he said in the Christians, Christians have this idea of the Trinity, at least the Catholics or whatever. The Trinity is the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God is the Father, that's one. Second is the Son of God, Jesus. And the third is the Holy Ghost. They say like Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost means Casper, the friendly ghost. The Holy Ghost means a good ghost. It means a spirit. So when they asked Prabhupada, they said, Prabhupada, in Krishna consciousness, do we have anything equivalent to this Catholic conception of the Trinity? It's called the Holy Trinity. God, the Father, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is like the impersonal Brahman. Holy Ghost is impersonal Brahman, and the Son of God is the all-pervading super soul, and God is Krishna, Parabrahman. Brahmati Paramatmati Bhagavanti Shabdite. Bhagavan is God, and the Paramatma is the Son of God, spread everywhere. Everywhere is suns, everywhere is expansions. And the impersonal energy is the ghost, Holy Ghost. That's basically the idea. But when Prabhupada is asked in Krishna consciousness, do we have anything equivalent to the Holy Ghost? He said, yes, our Mahamantra is equivalent to the Holy Ghost. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra is like the Holy Ghost. Because once that ghost gets inside of you, it never comes out. So once that Holy Ghost of the Krishna's name, Mahamantra, comes inside our ear, and if it comes in our ear and is accepted in our heart and mind, then that holy name will never come out. We may go here and there and do good or bad things, but we'll never forget the holy name, and we'll always, even if we're doing bad, we may chant Hare Krishna. So the name is like that. Because Prabhupada was, when they said ghost, then he was thinking of someone being ghostly haunted. If someone's ghostly haunted, they can't get the ghost out of them. They have to visit a tantric wallet. It's called Ghost Buster. You bust the ghost out of you. By tantric, by mantra, by hitting you with peacock feathers, by blowing on you, by snapping his finger, and giving you some tabij to wear, some little amulet type thing with some vasma inside or some crushed bones of it. So the sound of Krishna's flute, of course, is not a ghost, and it's not the Mahamantra, but it's the most incredible sound that once it gets in the ear, this is what Radharani's telling, that sound, she heard that sound of Krishna's flute one time when he walked by her house in Barsana, when he's taking the cows out. This is Purva Rag. Purva Rag means prior attachment, prior love before they've actually met. So Radha and Krishna at this juncture and they're growing up in Boma Vrindavan, Leela, they haven't even met formally yet. So Krishna is going out with Gochar and Leela at the age of 6. On Gopastami, Krishna is given charge of the cows. Before he was a Vatsapal. Vatsapal means a maintainer, a protector of the calves, baby cows. Now he's a Gopal. You go from Vatsapal, you graduate. Undergraduate study is Vatsapal. Then you become a Gopal. Then postgraduate study is Gopinath. Become a Lord of the Gopis. Master of the Gopis. It starts off by being master of the calves. So when he played that flute and Radharani heard it for the first time, she fell in love with that flute player. This is told in Vidugdha Madhava by Rupa Goswami. And Radharani actually fell in love with three men. She fell in love with a flute player, and she fell in love with this person named Shyamasundar, and she fell in love with the picture that Chitrasakhi painted of one boy named Govinda. So there was Murli Vadan and Shyamasundar and Govinda. She fell in love with these three different men, and she was very worried about this. Until Lita Sakhi explained to her that Shyamasundar and Murli Vadan and Govinda are all the same person. So this is a nice description. So Radharani is completely besides herself, appreciating Krishna's sweet voice that defeats and embarrasses the cuckoos, and it rumbles more sweetly. Krishna's voice is deep, and it resonates and rumbles more sweetly than clouds in the monsoon season, Sharad season. Clouds, they make a rumbling, a deep rumbling sound, which is rather soothing to the mind and heart. So the kokil and the rumbling clouds, and Krishna's voice is even sweeter than that. And there's some, not only does it sound in a special way, Krishna's voice and singing sounds very special. But if you hear his voice, of course I was speaking about Krishna's flute, but if you hear Krishna say something, then the sound of his voice gets in your ears and you can't get it out. You can never get it out. Kaha saki ki kari upai Krishna se shabda gune Hari le amara kane Evena paya Krishna mari jai. O saki, Radharani said, please tell me what I can do. My ears have been plundered by the qualities of the sound of Krishna's voice. Now, however, I cannot hear his transcendental sound, and I'm almost dead for want of it. So now this is, of course, all Mahabhav, Divyonmad Mahabhav, separation. Radharani's in deep separation from Krishna, and expressing that to her friend, her girlfriend, her Sakhi confidant. They say, oh, Krishna's gone, I'm bereft of his company. And one by one she's appreciating, his voice is so beautiful, so attractive, and it's gone, I'm hearing it. My ears are like conch shells. When you hold a conch shell to your ear, then you hear the sound of what is called waves. Some people, at least in the West, they say you can hear the ocean waves, because the conch shell is a child of the ocean. So the child is always talking about the glories of his father. So the conch shell is glorifying the ocean from whence it came from. So you put the conch shell up to your ear and you hear whoosh, 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 whoosh. But those that come from Indian side, they say when you hold the conch shell up to your ear, you hear the primordial sound which has instigated all of the creation. In the beginning there was sound. Anavriti shabdat. Pranava sarvavedeshu. Krishna says, pranava sarvavedeshu in Gita. Sarvavedeshu. If you search all the Vedas, you'll find that I am the pranava, omkara. Pranava sarvavedeshu, shabdake purusham rishu. I am the ability in man, I am the sound in ether. I am that primordial om, that is the vibration, of underlying vibration of creation. Creative impulse. Om. So Indian people say when you hold a conch shell up to your ear, then you hear the sound. Om. Om. So Radharani's ears have become like shank kan. Shankana. Her ears have become like conch shells. And as you can always hear the sound of Om inside the conch shell, inside Radharani's ears you can always hear the sound of Krishna's voice. If you want to hear the sound of Krishna's voice, you have to put your ear to Radharani's ear. Ear to ear. Of course, that would be... you'd have to be quite near to do that. And that probably won't happen this year. Or any coming year in the future. Unless you become one of her dear friends. Priyasakhi. Priyasakhi means Manjari. So everything goes together, huh? The ear and the near and the year and the deer. Nupura kinkini dwani hamsasa rasa jini kankana dwani chatake lajai hekabara jeshune vyapi rahe tarakane anya shabda se kanna najai. Anya shabda se kane na jai. Nupura kin kini dhani hamsa sarasa jini kankana dhani chatakila jai. Radharani goes on, starting with Krishna's voice, because she's talking all about sound vibration. Because Krishna has all the different... he is the ashraya. He is a Vishaya, he's the object of our senses. Our eyes want to find shelter in the form of Krishna and Radha. Our eyes are searching for Rupam. The food for the eyes is Rupam, form, design, color, movement. Basically, these are subcategories of Rupam. The food for the eyes is Rupam. Or you can say food for the eyes is too much breakfast. then your eyes close in the Harikatha. Couldn't be. Well, the food for the eyes is rupam. So Radharani now, she's describing food for the ears. All about Krishna's voice. This is sound, shabda. The food for the ears is shabda, sound. It's told in the Shastras when one chants Kam Gayatri, Kling Kamadivaya Vidmehe, that he can hear the sound of Krishna's flute. Krishna's shabda there is there. The Shabda Brahman, the Vamshi. Venu Madhurya. Rupa Goswami analyzes the sweetness of Krishna in four broad categories. Venu Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, and Leela Madhurya, sweetness of his pastimes. So Radharani is the perfect example of the ideal devotee. Perfect devotee, ideal devotee. Because every one of her senses, every one of her indriya, her panch gyanindriya, her panch karmindriya, her man, buddhi, hankar, everything, her hankara, her identity, her mind, her intelligence, everything is completely fixed on Krishna. And that type of attachment, that type of prema is called samartha, samartha rati, art, her objective, her art. Dharma, art, kam, moksha. Art means objective, focus, wealth, value, direction, culmination, goal. Sum means complete, only, full. So the complete samartha, her complete goal, her complete objective, is the pleasure and satisfaction of Krishna. Therefore, every one of Radharani's senses, her working senses and knowledge-acquiring senses, are fixed on Krishna, absorbed in Krishna. Moment to moment, hour to hour, day to day. Thought to thought, desire to desire, action to action. Thinking, feeling, and willing. Thought to thought, desire to desire, action to action. Radharani is fully absorbed in Krishna. Therefore, she is the ideal devotee. The param 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 premi bhakta of Krishna. Aradhanam, Radhika, Radhika. She's a perfectional form of the worshipper of Krishna, the ideal perfect devotee. So here she, Radharani, is appreciating Krishna. Radhe. So every aspect of Krishna she's appreciating. So now her ears are speaking through her heart, or her heart is speaking through her ears. How much she's appreciating and how much she's attached to Krishna sound, Krishna shabda, Krishna rupam, Krishna sparsham, Krishna Ganda, Krishna Rasam. So these are the objects of the senses. The food for the eyes is Rupam. The food for the ears is Shabda, sound. The food for the tongue is Rasam, taste. And the food for the nose is fragrance, aroma, smell. That's Ganda. And the food for the hands is Sparsha, touch. So Radharani, in these beautiful sections, in her intense separation in Gambhira Leela, Radharani's Gambhira Leela, she's feeling Krishna's experiencing Radha's separation, Mahabhav in the form of Mahaprabhu, Bhav and Kanti of Radha. And she's appreciating Krishna Shabda, the sound of Krishna. So we heard about the sound of Krishna's voice. If it enters the ears, it'll never come out of the ears, the sound of Krishna's sound. So this is the quality of sound, Krishna Shabda. So for us, we're not hearing Krishna's speech. He's not speaking to us, although some people say like that. But Krishna's not speaking to us, directly speaking in our ear, or whispering little jokes or love jokes in our ears, or telling us some nice riddles or something, little small poems. We're not hearing that. But we are hearing Krishna's holy name. So that is also Shabda Brahman, transcendental vibration. Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. So now Radharani is appreciating another sound that's produced by Krishna, another shabda, another more food for her ears. Krishna's voice is food for Radharani's ears. Krishna's flute is food for Radharani's ears. And now the sound of Krishna's ankle bells. Nupura kinkini dwani hamsa sarasajini. Nupura means ankle bells. Kinkini means waist bells. It says here, tinkling. The tinkling of Krishna's ankle bells surpasses the songs of even the swan and the crane, and the sound of his bangles puts the singing of the chatuka bird to shame. Having allowed these sounds to enter the ears even once, one cannot tolerate hearing anything else. So that would be great fortune to hear the sound of Krishna's waist bells or his ankle bells or his bracelets or whatever. It's his bangles. Seshi Mukha Bhashita Amrita Haite Paramrita Smita Karpura Tahate Mishrita Shabda Art Ndui Shakti Nana Rasa Kare Vyakti Pratyakshara Narma Vibhushita. Krishna's speech is far sweeter than nectar. Now she's going back to his speech. She mentioned about Krishna's voice. Now she's remembering Krishna's ankle bells and his waist bells, bangles. Then she's saying Krishna's speech, Sri Mukabash, Amrita Paramrita. His speech is far sweeter than nectar. Each of Krishna's jubilant words is full of meaning. And when Krishna's speech mixes with his smile, which is like camphor, which means very soothing, camphor is very soothing. It's very fragrant. What is the nature of camphor? It's soothing, it's cooling, cooling, soothing, fragrant. So Krishna's speech mixes with his smile. So Krishna's smile is like camphor. It's fragrant, soothing, cooling, calming. And the resultant sound of this combination of his speech and his smile and the deep meaning of Krishna's words creates various transcendental mellows. Nana rasa kare vyakti. They express different mellows. Shabda artha dui shakti. Sound and the art, the meaning. Se amritera ekakan karna chakora jivan karna chakora jiye se ashe bhagya vashe kabu pai abhagye kabu na pai. Na paile mara ye piase. Radharani goes on to glorify the sound of Krishna's voice. One particle of that transcendental blissful nectar is the life and soul of the ear. Karna chakora jivana. Se amrita ek kan. Premamshu ek kan. Surya kan. One particle, ekkan, one particle, the nectar, nectarine sound of Krishna's voice, karna chakora jivan. It is like the drops of moonshine, the rays of moonshine, the kana, chandrakana, the rays of moonshine which nourish the chakora. Karna chakora jese ashe. It's the life and soul of the ear. My ears are like a chakora bird that lives in hope of tasting that nectar. The chakora bird is some kind of special bird that flies in the sky like birds do, but he lives by drinking moonbeams. The chatuki, there's another kind of bird, chatuki and chakora. Chatuki, this bird, he only drinks water from the falling in the sky. So he has to be in a rainy place. Or he has a good capacity to store water or something. But when the water, he won't take water from a lake, he won't take any water from the ground. He flies up and he catches water falling from a rain cloud. So the chakora lives on moonbeams. So Radharani is saying, my ears are like chakora birds or chakori. Chakori is female. My ears, they live. What do they live on? Do they live on TV sound vibration? And bebop, you know, radio sounds and television newscasters and the evening wrap-up and the midnight news and the midday news and the everyday news. No. My ear is the jivan, chakora jivan. Karna chakora jivan. The life, jivan, the life for my ears. My ears are like a chakora bird and nothing else can give life to my ears. Nothing else can sustain or maintain my ears. Just like a chakora bird. No other water. There's water everywhere. There's water in the river, water in the lake, water in the ocean, water in someone's yard. There's everywhere water. so many reservoirs of water on the earth. So there's so many vibrations and sounds. All the world is made of sounds. Every animal is making some sound. Dogs bark, birds chirp, and porpoises, they make sound also. Whales and dolphins, they make some kind of squeaky sound. So everywhere it's a world of sounds, but these sounds they don't have any power of life for Radharani. Only the sound of Krishna's voice. So how does this relate to us? What is the Adiatmika Vichara? How do we relate this to us? What comes to my mind is just as the sound of Krishna's voice is the Jivan, Karna Chakora Jivan, it is the only life for the Chakora, is the only life for the only sustaining element for the ears of Srimati Radharani. How this can apply to the sadhaka or to the practitioner is that we can pray to Radharani and pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the sound of Krishna's holy name, the sound of Krishna's holy name becomes our only jivan, amara jivan, in life or in death. In life or in death, this is my life breath, this is my prana. Mat prana natastu saivan apraha. Mat prana natastu saivan napraha. This prayer, Shikshastakam, this is the eighth prayer, Ashushiva Parvatam Panashtamam, says, Mat prana natastu saivan apraha. These are all prayers glorifying Krishna, spoken by Radharani and Mahabhav, Mahaprabhu's Mahabhav, Rasaraj Mahabhav, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These are also prayers in glorification of the holy name, because the holy name is Krishna. Gnatvam namanamano. So this Radharani is praying, my all holy name, you are the Lord of my pran. You are my prananath, mat prananath. You are the Lord of my life, Lord of my very existence, my jivan, my prana. You are the Lord, the controller of it. So we can see that as Radharani is directly hearing Krishna speaking to her, and sweet discussions and love talks and riddles and funny words, and her ears are relishing and hankering with great utkantita, great eagerness to hear again the sound of Krishna's voice, and nothing else will do. Yes, it's a fact. Someone said the world, we have to hear something, and the world's full of sounds. Yes, it's a fact. We have to pray to the Shastra and pray to the author of the Shastra and pray to the Mahajans that we get some taste, we get some attraction for hearing Shastra and relishing Shastra. So we can also pray that the holy name will become the only sound vibration that goes in our ears. Only this holy name can give me life. My ears should become like a chakora bird. My ears should become like chakora birds. Although there's sound everywhere, there's so much sound everywhere, as someone said, but my chakora bird ears will only take the sound of Krishna's name. Chakoras will only take the moonshine. It's the only source of their life is moonbeams. So the only source of our ears, the only sound that should go in our ears is the sound of Krishna's name. Kirtaniya Sadahari. My ears are like a chakora bird that lives in hope of tasting that nectar. Sometimes by good fortune the bird can taste it, but at other times he unfortunately cannot and therefore almost dies of thirst. Napaile maraye piase. Napaile, no, not drinking anything, then maraye. Napaile maraye piase. If I don't get these moonbeams, then my chakora bird ears will die. The moonbeams is the sound of Krishna's voice. If I don't hear the sound of Krishna's voice, then I will die. So if I don't hear the sound of Krishna's holy name, I will die. We should be like that. Text 46. Jeva venu kala dhwani ekabara taha shuni jagannari chitta aula aulai Nivi banda pare kasi, bina mule hayak dasi, bholi hana Krishna pashe daya, bholi hana Krishna pashe daya. Radharani continues in the madness of her Mahabhav. The transcendent, now she's turning her direction to the flute. She spoke some verses about Krishna's ornaments and bhushana, his kinkini and nupura, waist bells and ankle bells, bangles. She spoke several verses about Krishna's voice. Now another sound vibration, these three, the sound of Krishna's flute, the sound of his voice, and the sound of his ankle bells, they combine together to drive one mad. Nidhi Banda, the transcendental vibration of Krishna's flute, Venukala Dhwani, disturbs the hearts of women all over the world, even if they only hear Krishna's flute one time. Doot, whoop, whoop. Ek bar taha shuni, jagan nari chitta aulhai. Aulhai. Their hearts become disturbed if they only hear it once. Thus, it says, nivi banda pare kasi. It says the knots of their, literally, because nivi banda means the knots of their underwear. The knots of their underwear become loosened and they drop. Nivi banda pare kasi. Because this is told other places also in Bhagavatam. Nivi banda. That there's some string holding up their undergarments, and when they're tied with a knot, like a bathing suit or something, they're tied with a knot. And then that when Krishna plays his flute, that unties the knot, and then they slip and become loosened. Thus their fastened belts become loose, and the women become unpaid maidservants of Krishna. Vina mule haya dasi. Mulya. Mulya means price. Mulya. Kitna rupya. Kitna, what's the mulya? Bina mulya. No mulya. There's no price. This is, Krishna doesn't pay anything. Usually if you want to catch some society girls, you have to pay something. If you want to woo them or seduce them, you have to pay for the services rendered. But here, Krishna is playing his flute and everyone just surrenders. Even their clothes fall off just by playing his flute. And then what happens? They run towards Krishna exactly like madwoman. Bauli, like bowls, owls, all these different groups. Bauli Hana Krishna Pashidhai. So Radharani now, she's explaining the effect of Krishna's flute. Very powerful instrument. Such incredible prabhav, such incredible force of Krishna's flute. And they're running. It's unbelievable. Jeva Lakshmi Takurani Tenho Jekha Kalishuni Krishna Pashai Se Pratyashai Napaya Krishna Rasanga Bare Krishna Taranga Tapkari Tabu Nahi Pai Tapkari Tabu Nahi Pai. When Lakshmi Devi hears the vibration of Krishna's flute, Lakshmi Takarani Jai Kakali Shuni, Kakali Shuni, she comes to Krishna, greatly hoping for his association. Pratyashaya, Asha, Asha Banda, hope against hope. Pasha, Krishna Pash, Krishna Pash, I say Pratyashaya. With great hope, she comes near Krishna, hoping. But nevertheless, she does not get Krishna's association. Napai Krishna Sangha. She doesn't get. When the waves of thirst for Krishna's association increase, she performs austerities, but still Lakshmi Devi cannot meet him. Bare Krishna Taranga. Bare means big time thirst. Very, very thirsty. Bare Krishna Taranga. Very big waves of thirst. She becomes very thirsty. Thirsty means extremely desirous. I must attain Krishna. I must attain Krishna Sangha. I must attain Krishna's intimate association, no matter what. So then she starts performing austerities, intense austerities. Napai Krishna Sangha, Bare Krishna Taranga. Tap Kari Tabu Nahi Pai. Tap, tapasya. Nahipai. She undergoes tapkari. She undergoes austerity. Where? Balvan, Srivan, and Vrindavan. Heavy austerities. Still to this day she's doing austerities. No success. Eshabdhamrita chari jarahaya bhagya bhari se karne iha kare paan iha jay nahi shune se kana janmila kene kanakari samasehikan. Only the most fortunate person can hear these four transcendental sounds. Bhagya bhari. Bhagya bhari, someone who's laden, bhari, laden with, heavy with bhagya, heavy bhagya, bhagya bhari, he has so much fortune, extremely fortunate. He can hear Shabda Amrita Chari, Ek Do Teen Char, Shabda Amrita Chari. He can hear these four nectarian transcendental sounds. What are those four sounds? These are the four sounds, these Shabda Amrita Chari, these four nectarian sounds are food for the ears. What are they? Sound of Krishna's words and voice. Somehow it says four sounds. It says Krishna's words, the tinkling of his ankle bells and bangles, that's two, his voice, that's three, and the vibration of his flute. So his words and voice sound similar. Words means his speaking, voice means his singing. So if you can hear Krishna speaking, he's speaking something to you, or he's singing, he's just in it. He's speaking something directly in your ears, personally speaking to you, or maybe speaking to a coward boy and you're eavesdropping, you're hiding behind a kunj, you're hiding behind some trees and you're hearing Krishna speaking with Subal or Sridham. Or if you hear Krishna singing, he's singing on the Jamuna or he's singing somewhere, or you hear his words, or you hear his voice when he's singing, or the vibration of his flute, or his ornaments on his body, his bangles, Kinkini Nupura. Who can hear those sounds? Radharani can hear those. Someone is very fortunate. Bhari, Bhagya Bhari. Bhagya Bhari, one is very, very fortunate. If one does not hear these sounds, the sound of Krishna's words, the sound of Krishna's voice, his words speaking something, his voice singing some songs, and the sound of his ankle bells and bangles, waist bells, and the vibration of his flute, then his ears are as useless as small conch shells with holes. So if a conch shell has a hole in it, then it's useless, can't hold any water, and it's not, can't be used for puja or anything. It can catch some sound in there, but it's basically useless for any other purpose. So the ears that are not catching these four sounds, Krishna's words, Krishna's voice, the vibration of Krishna's flute, tinkling of his bells. If one does not hear these sounds, then what are his ears like? Conch shells with holes in it. So our ears may be able to catch a little sound, but basically they're useless in terms of Krishna consciousness if we aren't hearing these four sounds. Karite aiche vilap utila udvega bhav mane kaho nahi alamban udvega visharamati atsukya trasa driti smriti nana bhavera hai lamilan. Well, Mahaprabhu was in Vilap, lamenting in this way. Agitation and ecstasy awoke in his mind. Vilap utila, udveg, udveg and bhav, money. And he became very restless. Many transcendental anxieties combined in Mahaprabhu, including anxiety, attention, eagerness, fear, determination, and remembrance. These are all sanchari bhavs. If you study Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it describes later chapters, it describes the 33 sanchari bhavas and 13 the anubhavas, and so they're different feelings and emotions. So when it's saying here udveg, autsukya, eagerness, anxiety, and vishad, these two particular words are also there in that list of different expressions of bhava, different feelings and they come up at different times. Bhava Shabalye, this is also described in Ujjala Nilamani. This is different mixtures and combinings of different feelings. Bhavasya Bhalye Radhara Radhara Ukti Lila Shuke Haila Spurti Sebhave Pareyeka Shloka Unmadera Samartye Se Shlokera Kareyate Se Arta Nahi Jane Loka. The aggregate, the combination, Bhavasya Bhalye, of all these ecstasies, once awoke a statement by Srimati Radharani in the mind of Bilvamangala Thakur. In the same ecstatic mood, Mahaprabhu recited that verse, and on the strength of madness he described its meaning, which is unknown to people in general. So in his madness of Mahabhav, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, because he had memorized so many shlokas, and he was always hearing from Rai Ramananda. Ramananda Roy was reading various scriptures, Chandidas's poems and Vidyapati, and also Krishna Karnamrita by Bilvamangala Thakur, which was written so many hundreds of years before Lord Chaitanya. So this verse is there. So we'll continue. We'll read that verse later in the next class. This is all about separation, because the main teaching of Puri Leela is separation. And this is the, we're in this, sometimes this Puri is called Viparlamba Kshetra, place of separation. Mahaprabhu saw the ocean as Jamuna, and churning with so many waves of and feelings and emotions. So we can hear about these feelings of separation and try to cultivate our own lack of qualification, our own mood of separation also.